that an intentional interim is with you, typically that's about a year. I've been here a year, and typically you would work through for a church three questions. Who are we, and what are we good at, and where should we go? So now we're calling our next pastor, lead settled pastor, and that's exciting. So in that time, we've also had some emphasis. And this Stronger in Christ is the third of those. Last fall, as we were sitting in church, we had a spiritual gifts inventory. And I thought that was so cool because people here rewrote, especially for this church, a way to do that in about 7 minutes as you're sitting here. You didn't have to go to your computer. You didn't know that before you left. So that was a thing that helped you individually. The focus of that was you. What are your spiritual gifts? And in a family, that was kind of cool because parents could then, for the first time, talk to their kids about what their kids' spiritual gifts were. So that was an individual thing. Then we had a stewardship emphasis, which was a discussion between you and God. That was cool. Not what should you give here, but God, what are you calling me to do? And those things were measurable. And now Pastor Chris and Jan Grothy have developed this Stronger in Christ as a way. Now think of the sequence here. Your gifts, you and God, and now Stronger in Christ is about stronger together in Christ. So part of what this 5 weeks was about was kicking off an initiative, an invitation for everybody here to connect with each other in some additional way. So yeah, wow, that was great. A number of people signed up and did join groups or volunteered to lead groups. So for 2 weeks, you had in your pew an opportunity to think, how can I connect here? How can I be stronger in Christ? And then in your bulletin every week, Bible studies related to the sermons, thanks to Pastor Chris and Jan. So you see there's a sequence in our community spiritual growth that builds on the other. So that was kind of cool to be a part of that. Now, these five-week sermon series explore how we can be stronger in Christ by thinking about hope and relationships and brokenness and goals and now the church. How does all of this tie together? It's so global. There are so many thoughts to think about. And I have for you today a text, a word from God that I believe can do all that, can tie all that together. This word from God for you today is our gospel reading. It's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, the very last words of the first gospel. And these words are so famous, they have their own name. We call them the Great Commission because it's inspiring. And as a young person, I memorized this from another version of the Bible than what we have here. But my way of remembering this is something I'm going to explain. I'm going to tell you, I believe this has three parts. And I'm an old guy. I never thought about this until I prepared for this sermon. But there are three things for us to consider in these two verses. And the first thing to think about is the word go. Go ye therefore. Go. It's about initiative. It's something that moves us from where we are to where we want to be. I'm going to talk about that. So of the three thoughts that come from this word of God, the verse is simply go. And I'm inviting you to think about the meaning of initiative in your life. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And what is teaching and baptizing about? If you ask about the word go, why would you go? The answer to that question is so that people can be taught and baptized. There's an essence to that next thing that God wants for his church. And the essence, I would say, is the word care. God wants us to care for each other. We do that as a church. We do that as a church recently in this service or the late. Pastor Chris has had quite a few baptisms. think of God's command for us to baptize. And what is that? Or how do you think about that? Well, in this church especially, we have the coolest visual reminder, because here is this really big glass wall, and there's a cross, and at the bottom of the cross of Jesus Christ, you follow your eye right down, and here is the water of baptism. And it flows over into this cascade, and it comes down into this pool, and it's recircled. And baptism means that there's a washing, a cleansing in Christ. What we do in this church is we wash people clean. In some denominations, you're immersed, and here we use water, the word of God, and an element as simple as water to wash someone clean. Baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, means to wash, like you would wash pots and pans. You clean, and we are cleaned in Christ. Our sins are literally washed away. So when Jesus in this great commission tells us to go and baptize, he invites us to cleanse people, you and me, to forgive them, to make them clean and new again. So in our church, in our community, we do things in our community you don't normally do at home, and that's a sacrament of baptism done by the pastor. And the second sacrament in our church is the holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. We put bread and wine here. They're sacraments because they were commanded by our Lord. They involve an element and God's word. And through Holy Communion, we are fed. We take into our body the very essence of Jesus Christ. So the Great Commission commands our church to go. And, oh my gosh, that's our mission statement, to reach out and bring people. It's on the wall. It's on the church side like a name tag. Our mission statement, our purpose, our reason for being in this church is pretty much a Great Commission. So we as a church, we do these things as a church. We go and we care. We gather here. Imagine that. So Super Bowl Sunday, everybody here is here voluntarily. We willingly come like we're on a cold night around a warm fire. We gather together in one room, and something is happening now in your heart. Something in your heart is happening. You are being cared for and warmed by the very love of God. It's that care, it's that nourishment that we get in this room at this hour that we don't get at another time and place. It happens only here. I live in Linwood, as you know. When I come here, I see airplanes taking off and landing from SeaTac. And I think of the church, this hour of our time together, something like an airport. An airplane flies high, and it's a magnificent thing, but it can't fly forever. Eventually, that airplane runs out of fuel, and it has to land. And what happens? You get refueled. You need jet fuel to take off again. That's what we do here. We get refueled. That Great Commission invites you and me as a community to get refueled. So of the three things, the two things in this are go and care. And the last part is interesting. In the version I learned it in, behold, I am with you always, or lo. So I thought that was funny. Go and lo. What's that about? Remember, I'm with you always. So the third part, I've never thought about this before. So me, I'm like a little kid. Oh my gosh, look at that. The third part of this is that God is inviting us to remember that he is with us always. Now think of the context of when this happened. This was after Jesus suffered and died on the cross. All his disciples knew for sure he was dead. That's why they were huddling behind locked doors, because their leader was dead and gone. And then he appeared to them again. he's alive, was with them for a while, and then he went up into heaven. So this was the last thing he said. If you knew your leader was leaving, you'd pay really good attention. There weren't any cameras there. Nobody was taking notes, but it was a remember and record. The last thing he said was, go and care. And then the very last thing is, remember, I'm with you always. And why is that important for us at a church? Because in our church, we're having a lot of transition. There's a lot of challenges. People are coming and going, and Pastor Jake is gone, and I'm leaving, and all kinds of things. And so it's good for us to remember that God is with us. God is with us always as a congregation. Those are all elements of God's word that apply, I think, directly and importantly to our church. This is a church thing, Stronger in Christ, St. Luke's. But there's another aspect of this, and that is how that applies to us individually. So this is not a voters meeting. This is a sermon. This is a time for you to be fed, you personally. So I ask you, what is on your heart this morning? What are your hopes and dreams? What's happening in your life? And I believe every time we read God's word, it speaks to us individually. So those same three messages, go and care and remember, apply to us as well. The whole thing about going, now if we think about that, it's easy to feel, if you were in another church, you might now at this point be scolded for not doing enough. But I'm reminding you that this is a gospel church. And of all the things you should understand about initiative, the most important thing is that you are the recipients of the initiative of God. The first thing to know is God is the initiator. That first Bible reading is about the creation. When God spoke and light was created, the world was created at the initiative of God. God chose Abraham to be the father of the nation. God initiated the children of Israel out of slavery. That's where this Passover meal came from. That became the Lord's Supper, the remembering of God's freeing the children of Israel. And then they came to the promised land, and God sent his son Jesus Christ to suffer and die and rise again so we could be washed clean. All of those things were initiated by God. So we don't have to go, we get to go. Remember, God is the initiator in your life. And that leads us to this whole thing about caring. You are being cared for, so you don't have to, you get to care for others. Think about this for a while. If you won the lottery and had millions of dollars, wouldn't that be wonderful? Unless somehow you couldn't spend it. What good would all that money do if you could not use it? And it's the same with us as we are the recipients of the love of God. We don't have to spend it. We get to spend God's love. We get to give to others God's love. That thing we got from God. So what a powerful thing is this Great Commission. We are commanded or invited to share the love of God with others. Go and care. What does this mean to you? It means that in your life you are children of God. And it means that as you think about your life, I'm taking you to the next step of now remembering who you are and what your calling is, because we're in church now for a little while. It's an hour maybe. And so in a week there are 7 days and 24 hours. You know how many hours there are in a week? I think it's 168. So all those hours, you're not going to be here. This is the time when you are refueled. And so it's important to remember from God's word today that we remember that God is with us. If we're not careful, we'll forget. So I don't believe I'm telling you something you don't know. I just think I'm reminding you of something really important in your life, that here in this hour of worship, we are fed and fueled and equipped and encouraged and enabled by the very word of God explained to you in a sermon. The Great Commission means something in our lives, in our hearts, not just how we function together as a church, but in our very own lives. God is speaking to you this morning these words. Go. Care. Remember. Those are the words of God for you from Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We so often think of them in connection with the church, or what we should be doing. But I'm inviting you this morning to think of these words as God's encouragement to you, that no matter where you are or what you're doing, you will remember that you're always called by God to love, care for others. May God grant that in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Heavenly Father, as we are fed by your word this morning, we are overjoyed to be reminded once again of your love in our life and what that means. Help us to understand that you are always with us and always love us. In Jesus' name, amen.